Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are now about halfway down Chof Aleph Amud Bet, that's 21b in our Gemara, and we are going to be taking a break from Purim and the Megillah in the context of talking about reading the Megillah. Our Masechta takes a detour into talking about general laws of Torah reading. And that is where we're going to be going to now. We are 2, 4, 5 lines up in the skinny lines on 21B towards the end of the line. And we have two diamond vertical dots that reminds us that we're going back to the Mishnah. And our Mishnah teaches Basheni on Monday, which is the second day of the week, Ubechamishi, and on the fifth day of the week, which is Thursday, and B'Shabbat B'Mincha, and Shabbat in the afternoon, Korin Shlosha, we read 3 Aliyot, and that is our practice. So on Shabbat morning, we read 7 Aliyot, but Shabbat Mincha, Monday and Thursday, we read 3 Aliyot apiece. So the Gemara asks, Hane Shlosha, these 3 Aliyot, Kineged Mi. What is the symbolism? According to who are they? Meaning, we chose 3 for a reason. What's the reason for 3? Now, the assumption of the Gemara is that these 3 are meant to evoke a symbolism, to remind us of something else, not just 3 is a good number or 3 is a chazakah, but that it refers to some other 3 in Judaism. And it's going to give a couple of examples. Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, Keneged Torah, Nevi'im, Kutuvim. One aliyah for Torah, one for prophets, one for writings. So it's evoking the tripartite nature of the Holy Scriptures. That's Rav Asi. Rava Amar. Rava says, Keneged Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim. It's according to the 3 types of Jews who can called up to the Torah. The first Aliyah is the Kohen Aliyah, the second is the Levi Aliyah, the third type is the Yisraeli Aliyah. So it's not about the Torah, it's about the Jewish people. So those are 2 possibilities for why we read 3. Elaha detani Rav Shimi, but what about what is taught by Rav Shimi? Ein pochtin miyud psukim bevei Knesset. The next line, another teaching that we have about Torah reading, which is actually not mentioned in our Mishnah, but is mentioned elsewhere, is that every Torah reading has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. Now this particularly is, the reason they're mentioning it is that it's a problem is that it doesn't break down nicely. If you have 3 aliyot, and each aliyah, as we'll see, has to have 3 verses in it, so 9 psukim would be perfect, but if you have 10 psukim, you seem to have an extra remainder. Okay, so Rav Shimi first of all says, when it says that you have 10 psukim in the Beit Knesset, Vayidaber Ola Min HaMinyan. The pasuk Vayidaber counts. Now Vayidaber is just Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, and God spoke to Moses saying, which is a frequent pasuk. It appears a lot in certain sections of the Torah. Rashi says that Vayedaber, he says, is a pasuk, afal pi she'en lilmod mimeno klum. Even though you can't learn anything from this pasuk, it's kind of a wasted pasuk, nonetheless, it's included in the minyan. I don't really understand this hava mina. First of all, we do learn things from this pasuk Vayedaber. The word lemor is learned, is darshan to teach us that Hashem had to tell Moshe, and then Moshe had to tell the Jewish people. So there is a drasha related to the word lemor. We do learn something from it. In addition, we learn something from the word vayedaber as opposed to the word vayomer, that dibur is a harsher language and vayomer is a softer language. So, of course, there are things that we learn from this pasuk. Maariv Chayyus tries to say that perhaps we only need to learn from it in one instance, but this pasuk repeats so many times that after the first time that it's mentioned, there's nothing new to be learned from all the future occurrences of the pasuk, and that's an interesting answer. But in addition, there are lots of other psukim, such as lists of names and other verses that repeat, that which we don't learn anything. It's surprising that they are that they would denigrate this pasuk. But in any case, the Vayidaber Ola Min HaMinyan, it does count as one of the 10 verses. Now the Gemara is going to ask similarly to the 3 aliyot, Hane Asara Keneged Mi. Why do we need to have 10 verses? In other words, we could have just had 9. Why do we need to have 10? 10 is also symbolic. And it's going to give 3 answers. There's a 4th answer that's included as well, but we will suggest that it doesn't belong here. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I'm on the second wide line. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Keneged Asara Batlanin Shebebeit HaKneset. According to the 10 unemployed kollel guys who sit in the shul, we mentioned this earlier in the Masechta, that the definition of a city is a place that can afford to fund 10 guys who sit in shul and are available all the time to make sure there's a minyan. Now, usually we translate batlanin to say that they are batel me'avodah. They don't have to go to work, so they can stay at shul all day and be available to make a minyan. However, there is another interpretation that I saw, which is that they are mevatel kaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the ones that prevent Hashem from getting angry, because there is a Gemara teaching, there's a teaching in the Gemara that says that if Hashem comes to shul and doesn't find a minyan, he immediately gets angry. Miad ha'yakoes. Now, I assume that only means at regular davening times, perhaps, but here we can make sure that there's always a minyan in the shul, because you always have asara batlanin, so they are mevatel the anger of Hashem. So since they are so important to the functioning of the shul in that way, we read 10 verses to show honor to them. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Yosef Amar Keneged Aseret HaDibrot. It corresponds to the Ten Commandments, Shenemru LeMoshe B'Sinai, which were said to Moshe in Sinai. So those were, in some ways, the paradigm of the Torah reading, the first time we heard the Torah from Hashem. And so whenever we read the Torah, we reenact that Sinai experience. Now, the next answer, which we is in parentheses and probably doesn't belong here. We're just going to read through it briefly. Rabbi Levi Amar Keneged Asara Hilulin Shamar David B'Sefer Tehillim. Levi says it goes for the 10 Hilulin, the 10 Hallelujahs, that David said in Sefer Tehillim. The reason why it doesn't belong here is because counting to 10 is difficult. The exact breakup of the chapters in Tehillim was the subject of some dispute, and it seems like, according to the methodology that we'd like to employ here, there would really only be 9 of them. So that's why some people put it in parentheses and think that it doesn't belong here. But ve'ein kan makom laharich. We're not going to go into that now. Instead, we'll go on to the third real answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar keneged asara ma'amarot shebahen nivra ha'olam, according to the 10 utterances by which the world was created. This, by the way, has the same problem, as we'll see in a moment. The concept here is that in the first perek of Bereishit, in the first chapter of creation, there are 10 times where Hashem creates something, and each time when he creates something, it uses the language of "and he said." As an example, in the first day, it says "Vayomer Elokim yehi or," and God said, "Let there be light." So the creation is done by ma'amar, done by a saying or an utterance of God. So what we do is we said that in the first chapter of creation, Hashem used the language of Vayomer 10 times. The problem is that if you count all the Vayomers in the first chapter, you'll come up with 9. And that's the Gemara's question too. This is also mentioned in the first Mishnah of the 5th chapter of Pirkei Avot. Hi Ninhu, what are they? Vayomer de Bereishit, and he said of the Bereishit, Hane Tisha Havu, they are only 9. So how do you get to 10? So the answer that the Gemara gives, Bereishit Nami Ma'amarhu. Bereishit also counts as a Vayomer, Dichtiv, as it is written in Tehillim. This is Tehillim Lamed Gimel Pasuk Vav 33:6. It says, Bidvar Hashem, with the word of God, Shamayim Nasu, Uvurach Tiv Kol Tva'am, and in the breath of his nostrils, all of the heavenly hosts. So there we say that even though it doesn't say Vayomer related to the creation of heaven and earth, we in Tehillim it tells us that it was created Bidvar Hashem. Now, there's two problems here. First of all, it says Bidvar Hashem. It does not use the language of Amar. Second of all, it mentions only Shamayim. It doesn't mention Eretz. But I will point out that in that pasuk, in that chapter of Tehillim, in a couple verses later, it says, Ki hu Amar vayehi, that Hashem is the one who said, and all things came into being. So that chapter of Tehillim is specifically referring to the Vayomers of the first chapter of Bereishit. Now, there are a lot of different answers given to how to understand this kvetch of an answer, that where even though it doesn't say Vayomer, it's still Vayomer, and there are a lot of interesting possible approaches. I will just point out one approach, which is that perhaps we need to look to chapter 2 for Vayomer. If you continue into chapter 2 of Bereishit, you'll find that Hashem does say Vayomer another time in the creation of women. He says, Vayomer Hashem lo tov heyot adam levado. I think it's the Rambam, I didn't double check, I think it's the Rambam who says that that is the 10th Vayomer, the creation of woman in chapter 2 has to be included. But that is not the answer that is given in the Gemara here. Okay, we continue on. We are four lines up in the medium wide lines at the end of the line. Now, what we've established is that we have three aliyot, and that in those three aliyot, we're going to have 10 verses. So that creates an inequality. Who is going to read four verses? Two of the aliyot are going to read three verses, and one is going to read four. Who gets the fourth verse? Amar Rava, says Rava, Rishon Shekara Dalet Meshubach. If the first guy reads four, he is the most important. He's the most praiseworthy. Sheni Shekara Dalet Meshubach. If the second guy reads four, he's the most praiseworthy. Shlishi Shekara Dalet Meshubach. And if the third one reads four, then he's the most praiseworthy. Now, what Rava seems to be saying is that there is no absolute formula for who should read the four verses. Maybe it depends on what section of the Torah you're reading, or maybe it depends on what they decide to do. It wasn't, their Torah reading wasn't as set as ours. So perhaps the guy who got up first could decide to read four, or the Gabbai could say, you read four today, you know, and they could decide sort of on the fly. But whoever gets to read the fourth verse is somehow has a higher praiseworthiness. Now, the Gemara is going to identify what the advantage of doing it first, second, or third is. So the first one, it says, Rishon, it's advantageous to read four verses in the first aliyah, Shekar Dalet Meshubach, that if he reads four, he is Meshubach. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah, B'shalosh kupot shel shalosh shalosh se'in shebehen termina talishka. When they were donating to the Beit HaMikdash, that people would donate at different times, and they had three kupot, three boxes, three tzedakah boxes. And on each verse was written Aleph Bet Gimel. So that way they knew which donations were given first. So like they would rotate them so that they could keep them in order. And they would use the donations that had been given first to buy sacrifices earlier. In other words, they used the first donations first. Leida, to know, Ezo Mehen Nitrama Rishon, to know which ones had been donated first. Lakriv mimena rishon, in order to bring from those donations first. Shem mitzvah barishon. It was a mitzvah to use the donations that were given first. So in other words, kol hakodem, you know, zocha. The first one is the one who is the most honorable. Emtzai, the middle one, shekara arba meshubach, that could be considered to be praiseworthy. Detanya, as we learn in a braita, el mul peneha menorah, Ya'iru Shivat HaNerot. It doesn't quote the Shivat HaNerot. But what it means is when they set up the menorah, there were seven flames, and the three flames on the left and the three flames on the right were all inclined towards the center flame, which was the body of the menorah. And the body of the menorah, that middle flame, which is called the Ner Ma'aravi, was opposite the opening of the Holy of Holies. So everything went from both sides to the middle. Milamed, it teaches us, Shemitzadeh Pnehen, Klapei Ner Ma'aravi, that they would incline their faces, in other words, the direction of the flames, Klapei, towards Ner Ma'aravi, towards the western candle. It was called the western candle because it was opposite the, it was closest to the Holy of Holies. The Ner Ma'aravi, and the western candle, Klapei Shrina, was opposite the Divine Presence. In other words, right opposite the opening of the Holy of Holies. Rabbi Yochanan said, Mikan Shem Tzai Meshubach, and this is how we can see that since the central candle was Meshubach, so then the middle aliyah can also be Meshubach, can be praiseworthy. The Acharon, and the last aliyah, Shekara Arba Meshubach, if they read four verses, they could be praiseworthy. Mishum Malin Bakodesh Velomi Moridin. This is the third example of this that we've come across, where you go up in holiness, not down. Just like we light Hanukkah candles going upwards, so to here, the third aliyah is on a higher level because it's the third one, and each one goes up a level of holiness. So we've brought an idea that depending on the circumstances, the first, the middle, or the end, or if you will, beginnings, middles, and endings, can be the most meshubach depending on the context or depending how you look at it. There's no way of saying that one is necessarily superior to the others. Each one has its own milah. Rav Papa ikla lebe kemishna da Avi Gober. Once Rav Papa went to a certain synagogue, the kara called Avi Gober, we don't know what it is, maybe it belonged to a certain person or was in a certain town. The kara rishon, arba, and he decided to read four verses in the first aliyah. Veshivchei Rav Papa, and Rav Papa Rav Papa, the Bal Kore read four verses, and Rav Papa praised him. Now, does this mean that the conclusion of the Gemara is that you should read four verses in the first Aliyah? It doesn't matter to us anyway, because our Torah readings are sort of fixed and set. We just follow what it says in the Siddur. But it's not 100% clear. It could be that he praised him for choosing to do it first, but not that you couldn't do it in any other way, or that he praised him in that particular context. It's not 100% clear. There doesn't seem to be an absolute halacha about whether or not you have to, where you have to put the four in. In fact, many of our Torah readings are longer than 10 psukim, so we don't have to deal with that issue at all. There is one example, which Tosfos brings, of the reading on Purim Day, which is Parshat Amalek, and it happens to be only 9 verses long, which is a problem, because we said that any Torah reading should have to be 10, and this seems to violate that principle. So Tosfos gives an answer which is not terribly convincing, although it does make sense, or certainly would make sense without the rule, which is that that's how long the Parsha is. You have a Parsha of Amalek, it's 9 verses long, that's the topic of the day, we're reading about Amalek. If we were to add on an extra verse or an extra section, it would be on a totally different topic, not related to Amalek, so we don't do it. So he says, well, so the rule only applies when it's possible or when it's related to that inyan. But here you have a situation where you're only reading about Amalek, it's only 9 verses, so you don't have to follow the rule. So that would make perfect sense to me, except that we have a rule. So to me, it would seem like we should add on extra verses. But in actuality, it is the one reading of the year that is less than 10 psukim. We'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful